We want to turn to Ruth, and in Ruth today we're talking about the wonderful women of faith, and really we've been going through a study in the Gospel of John. In our study in the Gospel of John, I take a little break because I want to really encourage the women today, men of our fellowship. God has encouragement for us today. So in Ruth, and in chapter 1 of Ruth, so it's like the comes right after Judges. It's in the front end of your Bible. Very front end. What? Ruth? Yes. Front part of the Bible?
Before the center.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Ruth, chapter 1. We'll just read a few verses. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, and he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were of Bethlehem of Judah, and they went out into the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there for about 10 years. And then both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the women survived their two sons and their husbands. Let's pray. Father, we look as we just started to read these first few verses, Lord, but yet it doesn't seem right there that there's a great amount of encouragement for moms today. But I know, Lord, that as we see this message, as you bring it to us today, Lord, that our hearts would be encouraged. Lord, there's just the need this morning for the outpouring of your love upon our hearts and our minds and upon the things that you have before us, that you would renew, Lord, your purpose and your vision for our life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As many of you may remember, just a few weeks ago, my mom was visiting, so it was the first visit up here in quite a while for her, and it's a great joy. My mom's 83, and I have 9 brothers and sisters, and it's just a great joy to be with her. She actually texted me yesterday as she received something I sent her, so she's a great mom, been a real blessing. And growing up in a household with 9 kids, you think pretty much everybody, that's what everybody's family's like. Wherever you grow up, you have an idea. That's typically what everything is like. And it's not until you move on later in life that you see, actually, there's a little bit more variety than what I might be thinking about. And for us personally, to be able to be married for 32 years and having 3 of our own daughters and now 5 grandchildren, it's a great blessing. This morning, as I was looking at this Word of God, and we're in Ruth, and if you look actually, because there's a reference to the time period that this was written, and so in Judges, the book before Ruth, you just have to glance over, the very last verse of Judges, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes." And today we're living in such a time as is referred to here. In other words, I think that there's really no national moral standard that's put out there for us. These are the most difficult days that I've known in my life. Now, I'm not a spokesman for you, nor am I trying to be an international or national spokesman. In my life, in the things that I've done and how I've lived, these are the most difficult days that I've ever known. Why are they difficult? Well, my friends, there's 3 wars that our nation's participating in right now. There's huge economic concerns in our nation. There's huge amounts of indebtedness, as you're aware of that, to, you know, get gas. I mean, it's amazing. When I was right out of high school, I had a VW Bug. I wish I still had it. I love that car. I upgraded to a VW van and then to a Karmann Ghia. So I kind of stayed in the Volkswagen family for a while. But I remember that VW would get about 30 miles a gallon. And so you can fill up a tank at 27 cents for $2.70, okay? And then that means that I could pretty much drive from Seattle to Los Angeles, you know, 1,300 miles, you know, 300, 3, 6, 9, 12. So 4 or 5 tanks of gas, so $3.05, $15. Well, I just went to fill up my thing, to fill up my lawnmower with gas, okay? It's more than that right now. I mean, times are different, aren't they? And there's a lot of stress, and there's a lot of difficulties, and there's unemployment concerns, and just so much, more than I've ever known before. So much difficulties in relationships and families, and they're just difficult times. And when we see this book of Ruth being written, it's describing a time period, I think, similar like to today. And so what you have is, with the pressures of everything going on, you've got a family of four that's living in Bethlehem. And the word Bethlehem means house of bread. So they're in the house of bread. Location is Judah, and Judah means praise. So a place of praise and a house of bread with difficult pressures that are facing them. And here you have a family of four living together. And we don't have the privilege of going in and to listen to the conversation going in that household. But I can imagine the dad wondering, how am I going to provide for this family? Because the concern was, as the scriptures say back in your text, in the very first verse of Ruth chapter 1, there's a famine in the land. What are we going to do? Honey, what are we going to do? Where are we going to do? Honey, how are we going to provide? Honey, what's going to go on? Honey, do you know what's going to happen? Yeah, I feel like maybe the Lord would want us to stay. Should we stay? Maybe we should stay. Should we stay? We can stay and trust God. Can we trust God and stay? We've been staying, honey. Nothing's happening. There's a famine in the land. What's going to happen? Do you have any other options? I don't know. What other options were you thinking about? Have you thought of Moab? I did, but the name Moab means wash basin, and I don't necessarily want to take my family to the wash basin. Well, have you got any better ideas? Well, I don't know. What are you going to do? Well, we're praying. I know we're praying, but what are you going to do? There's a famine in the land. Do you understand? I wasn't there listening in their windows, but can you understand? There's a dialogue going on. And you want to trust God. Do we stay? Do we move? What's going on? And he ends up going down, I think, you know, sincerely to try to provide for his family. All the details aren't given, and I'm not trying to, in a way, add something that's not in the Bible, but I'm saying this is a man, a woman, they've got their family, they've got the pressures of life, they got the famine, they want to provide, but they pull away from the house of bread and the place of praise, that there's something you have to do in thinking about your decisions. And the purpose, and I believe the sincere purpose, was not to make a name for himself. The sincere purpose was to try to provide. So what happens? It's just a period of 10 years that they're there. See verse 4? In verse 4 of the text, it tells us they dwelt there for about 10 years. Things aren't happening like we thought. Life's not turning out like we thought. We've got a family of four. Now what do we have? Well, dad died, so mom's a widow, all right? We have two boys, but they're going to marry pagan women. And then the boys die. So now what do we have? Well, my friends, in a period of 10 verses, in 5 verses, over a period of about 10 years, you have a family, you have two marriages, you have three funerals, and you have three widows. That's what's going on right there. Difficult times, isn't it? And what we see as we continue in chapter 1 and we look at verse 8, and we see Naomi saying to her daughter-in-laws, go and return each to your mother's house. The Lord will deal kindly with you as you've dealt kindly with me. And as you continue on down, and we see in verse 13, it says, would you wait for them till you are grown? Would you restrain yourself from having a husband? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sake. The hand of the Lord has gone out against me. It's interesting because, as some of you may be familiar with the names, they have meaning. So the name Elimelech, the dad, the father, his name means, my God is king. And Naomi, her name means pleasant. So my God is king and pleasant got married, trusting God and believing in God. But their two sons are named differently. Mahlon means sickly, and Chilion means tired or wasting away. So literally that's what their names are. My God is king, married pleasant, and their two children are sick and tired. That's what it says. They've got problems. These are difficult times. What are we going to do? And what happens is, as life is unfolding before them, trust in God is fading. And the vision maybe that God had for them earlier on isn't in their heart. And I believe every one of us, if we're honest before God, as believers in Jesus Christ, that sweet fellowship with Jesus that we just want to hold on to all the time, it moves. And many times we believe doctrinally in God, but our experience is falling short in that realm. And it hinders our life. And it hinders our walk with God. And we're not certain about who God is. And is God really there? And does God really care? And I'd like to propose a thought to the women, and both all the women here, married or single, doesn't matter. Here's the strategy that the enemy has used since the garden. And that is to believe a lie. And the enemy would want to convince you that you're not valuable, that you're not lovable. This is where he attacks. He attacks women in that frailty of emotions. And that's why he's called us as men and as husbands to come alongside and to love a wife, our wife, as Christ has loved the church. The issue is love. And what happens is when that's not happening, discouragement comes. And in your heart, you lose that passion and you lose that vision and you can lose that love for your children and for your husband and for what God has. And this is where the enemy comes in, and it can become very discouraging. It can become frightening in terms of the despair and depression that you face and that you go through. And many of the battles that you attend to are battles in your own mind, battles that you haven't shared with anyone, battles that you'd be embarrassed to share with, but they're very real. They're very real. But I want to impress upon us the realness of our God today to help us out, to help you out personally. When I have a chance to teach at the high school a couple times a year, and it's a relationship class, but a point that I make in the class, made up of mostly, you know, sophomores, juniors, and seniors, mixed class. But I address the women in the class and I say to them, as a pastor speaking, these are difficult days for a young girl to grow up with the pressures of what people expect from you and how you have to look, the appearance pressure and other types of pressures. It's very difficult. And you're looking to establish your image based on the approval or based on your appearance or based upon your achievement. And your investment goes into that. And unfortunately, you're setting yourself to be ripped off. Because the scripture's clear that we want to find our identity in Christ and to know him and his love. And when we see this woman, Naomi, who was created and given this name of pleasant, she's telling these daughter-in-laws with her, they're saying, we're going to come with you. We're committed to you, Mom. Your sons have died, but we're committed to you. And there's two daughter-in-laws. We saw the first one is, it's a different name, Oprah. Orpah. I mean, when you just look at that, like the first thing that comes to my mind is like a talk show host. And then I think of, something at SeaWorld for some reason. It all kind of floats in there. It's Orpah. But the other one is Ruth. And so they're there and they're embracing her and they're saying, we're going to go with you. And Orpah, you know, kisses and Ruth clings. And what we see is that there's something that's been put in Ruth's heart. Now, this is very interesting because when you are down and when you're discouraged as a believer, in your mind, you're thinking that your witness is gone. As a believer, in those times of discouragement, you think your witness is not happening. But I must say that I believe that God uses our life, that he is the light within inside of us, that even if perhaps I'm not living in fullness of faith or trusting God, he's still working. If he's resident within me, he's still at work. He's a gracious God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. and he works through us. And that has to be so because there's something about Naomi. There's something about Elimelech. There was something about their family. There was something about their trust in God that caused Ruth to come to a point and to cling to her mother-in-law in verse 14. And she says, I am staying with you. If you notice in verse 16 and 17, it says, chapter 1, entreat me not to leave you, nor to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and also more so, if anything but death parts from you and from me. And when she saw that she was determined, so Naomi is seeing that Ruth, her daughter-in-law, is determined to go with her, she stopped speaking. And the two of them went and came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they came into Bethlehem, verse 19, that all the city was excited because of them. So it's been a 10-year intermission since they've been there, according to the scriptures. They left Bethlehem, the house of bread, to go to the wash basin of life. It caused a calamity to take place. Three funerals. You got Naomi coming back as a widow with her daughter-in-law, widow, and they're coming into this town. They have no idea, in a sense, homeless. Where are we going to be? Where are we going to stay? There's no future for them. There's no fortune before them at all. And they've experienced famine in the land, and there's no family, and they're coming back. And what we see here, and it's important, it says in verse 20, or right at the end of 19, notice the question mark, is this Naomi? But she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I was full when I went out, and the Lord brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And now they came into Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. There's great encouragement here. So what happens is when you become discouraged and despairing, your perspective of life is going to be off balance. In a big way. The way you really see things or view things is not going to be correct. You just need to understand that. You need the help of someone else that is not in that same place to help. Just know for certain that your perspective is going to be off. It's going to be off spiritually. It's going to be off relationally. I mean, again, note, when she's coming back in and they're saying, is this Naomi? What are they saying that? Of course it's Naomi. Why do you say, is it Naomi? Because 10 years have taken a toll on her. She doesn't look the same. And what happens is when discouragement, depression come in and it just is eating you away, your countenance changes and your appearance can change radically. And she owns up to it. She says, I left here with the name Pleasant, but I'm returning as a bitter woman. Call me Mara. It means bitter. That's what the name means. And it's very sad, but she says that she went out full. Well, she didn't go out full. When they left, they didn't go out full. When they left, the reason they left is because they didn't have what they needed. And she says, I'm coming back empty. And she's not coming back empty. God has blessed her with an incredible woman named Ruth. She's not coming back empty. She's coming back with somebody who says, I am Velcro to you, woman, for the rest of your life. I am going to be in a relationship with you. I am going to demonstrate this godly love towards you. I'm committed to you. It doesn't matter what happens to you. I'm not walking out. I'm staying with you until death. So be certain about that. And so she's coming back with a full blessing of this other woman. And the point that's important to make right here is, please, again, as we're bringing forth the reality of the life and the day we live, as we're speaking on Mother's Day and we're not in any way falling short and saying we realize we're not sugarcoating life. We realize what life is like and the depth of all the responsibilities of life. And I'm saying that there aren't any more intense times that I know about than the ones that you live in. The best thing that we could bring today is just the message again of God's love. of his sovereignty, of his care, of his provision, even if there's zero in the bank account. Even if you don't know what's going on, God is here with us. And he's going to see us through. And he's going to bring people alongside of us. He is going to see us through. They enter in at barley time, at harvest time. God is at work right now. God's not asleep. God's not slumbering. He is here. He's in our midst. And he wants to demonstrate that to us. Now, when we're looking at this into chapter 2, what we see is that there's this man named Boaz. And his name means the Lord is strength. And what is happening, again, we're going to just kind of fly through this study on Ruth. Again, the purpose of today's message is to find that encouragement from God. So here's what's happening. It's an agricultural time. There's a man named Boaz. His name, again, as I said, means the Lord is strength. And it's time of harvest, so there's working out in the field. They come in to the place, to Bethlehem, house of bread. They need practical provisions. Is Naomi in a place to really get out there and work? No, probably not. Probably not. But Ruth says, I'm going out. I understand that God has made a provision, and God did make a provision. It's a provision that has been placed into his word, and it's a provision of gleaning. It's a wonderful provision. Gleaning. What does that mean? It means when you're harvesting the fields intentionally, it's in the word of God, they don't harvest the entire field, but around the corners, they leave that area. So when they're harvesting the field, as a owner of the field, they're leaving areas of the field available for anyone to come in and take what they need for themselves as a provision. It's called gleaning. It was written. It was a provision made in God's law. He made that provision, God did, in advance of this actually happening. If this provision wasn't there, where would have been the food? What would have happened? So he makes that provision. Do you know that God's made provisions for you and for me we don't know about right now? That there are gleanings that God has for us? That there are things that he has for us? There are ways he wants to provide for each one of us. Incredible ways. Wonderful ways that we don't know anything about. But he does. And he wants to show you those provisions and those ways for you. And as we go about the work, as we're working, as we're diligent, God brings these provisions into our lives. It's wonderful to see the way the Lord works. And as you trust him, you have marvelous testimonies in this regard. What happens? Well, as she's out gleaning, come to find out this man Boaz, there's a connection. There's a relationship between Boaz and their family. And what is happening is through this relationship, Boaz recognizes Ruth. If you look in chapter 2 and in verse 4, it says, "And now Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.'" This is wonderful. We've been through chapter 1, a sense of great discouragement. But I love it. If you are an owner of a business, can you come on to the business place and just say, "God bless you. The Lord be with you"? I mean, your attitude dictates so much. And this person, Boaz, is just coming on and he's trusting God. "Hey, bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless this business." If someone in your workplace is asking God to damn the business or a customer or something, correct them. And we're saying, "We're not looking for that at all. We don't accept what you just said here. We want God's blessing." It's more than just words, because there's a heart behind those words. Say, "No, we're here. We believe God wants to bless this work and bless this business." And Boaz is there. He recognizes Ruth as you move on through the chapter. In chapter 2, verse 12, he recognizes Ruth. He says, "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you, the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." He says in verse 13, "Let me find favor in your sight." That's what she said, "My Lord, for you have comforted me, and you have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like one of your maidservants." So she knows she's a foreigner, but she's found great favor. And all of us, you know, we were foreigners in this world. We've come into the kingdom of God. And God shows us wonderful favor. He wants to be our provider. He wants to show His great provision for our lives. He wants us to come under His leadership, under His wings, take a refuge and be with Him. He wants to see us through. Verse 16, He says, "Let grain from the bundles fall purposefully for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." And so He is making even a greater provision for this woman. In verse 20, when Naomi said to her daughter, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is our relationship. He is the closest of our relatives." What does this mean? This means that Naomi's heart is waking up. How? It's waking up because of Ruth. Ruth taking the initiative, Ruth going out, Ruth saying, "I'll be the provider," Ruth trusting in God, Ruth believing in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even though life was turning out not as they had hoped, but all of a sudden, with the grace of God and the work of God, we understand what was once said, "The world is against me, and so is God," and so is what Naomi said about herself, "Call me bitter, call me Mara." She owned it. But God breaks in on all of that. And God would like to do that right now. God would like to lift up your heart. God would like to encourage you. You've been holding things, and your understanding of God and your understanding of others of God, people of God, can be tainted. It could be the wrong view. And all of a sudden we see, no, God is great. God is almighty. God is in our midst. God is working. God isn't, directing some sort of curse towards you or your life. God loves you. God wants to bless you. God wants to provide for you. We cannot control the situations of life, but we can control our response to them. Wasn't it Joseph? Wasn't it Joseph that was just living a life that was such a blessing to his family and to his dad? Wasn't it because of jealousy against Joseph and his relationship to his father? Wasn't it jealousy that brought his brothers to such a sense of hatred and animosity towards Joseph? Didn't they put his brother into a pit? Didn't they want to kill him? Instead, didn't they see a traveling caravan going across, and instead of killing them, didn't they say, "We can make some money off our brother. We can sell our brother as a slave. He'll go to Egypt, and we won't have to worry about him anymore. He's gone." And what will we say to Dad? Well, we'll lie to Dad, of course. We're going to deceive Dad. We can fool Dad. And so they took his coat, they put animal blood on it, brought it to Dad, and said, "That's what happened to your son Joseph." And their dad started to grieve greatly every day of his life. And those brothers, I don't know how they lived with themselves. How could they live with themselves? And when they put their brother onto the traveling caravan, their brother that had come out there in the very beginning to show them love, to give them food, to find out how they're doing, to find out how he can serve them. Could you imagine this young boy, I think in the later teens, on this caravan to Egypt as a slave? Brothers! Brothers! And they would have nothing to do with that cry. And how that must have been a haunting cry for these guys and for the brother. Taken as a slave, and he just worked diligently to the Lord. And in all of that, he was appointed to a greater position. Joseph was alien from his family, probably never see him again, wondered about his dad and his younger brother, but just in a sense dedicated it to the Lord, saying, "God, you can work in all of this. You can work. I don't want to become a bitter man. I'm going to trust you in this situation, God." And God elevates him to such a position. But then there's a woman that is involved. He's not involved, but she accuses him of rape. And he's put into a prison. And in that prison, he serves faithfully. And in prison, God elevates him to a position. And he's able to interpret dreams, and he's able to really be a spokesman for God. And it seems as though when the revelation of these dreams comes out, he just makes one request, and that he could be free from this prison. And yeah, we'll take care of that. And yeah, they did not take care of that. And he stayed there. And do you think he might not wonder, God, where are you? Lord, where are you in the midst of all of this? Lord, where are you? I love you. I served my father. I was obedient. My brother's word, I was. And Lord, I'm just doing my best as unto you. And what's happening in life? Is this fair? Is this just? But Lord, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to trust you in this, Lord. I believe, God, that you're in charge. I believe you'll see us through. Give it to the Lord. And then we see Joseph towards, as time goes on, and there's a famine in Egypt. There's a famine all around. What are you going to do? And his brothers end up coming. They come asking for food because God has given him the wisdom to be a good steward over resources and food and provision. And he's there and he can't control himself. He leaves the room and he breaks down when he realizes his brothers and his dad are alive. And he works a way for all of them to come together. He reveals who he is. And his brothers are taken back by this love. Why wouldn't you want to retaliate against us? Especially in the position you're in right now. You could take all of our lives, or you can make life absolutely miserable for us. But you don't want to do that. And dad ends up dying. And the brothers come to Joseph and they say to Joseph, now's the time you're going to do it, aren't you? Now's the time you're going to take our lives. Now's the time you're going to make our lives miserable. And he just says, I don't think you ever got it, did you? That's not who I am. And that's not what I do. I've trusted God. And God's allowed all of this for such a time as this, to do the work that he has in mind. And all the things that we're facing and going through, can we just say, God, you're in control? Things that we've done that we shouldn't have done. Things that we should be doing. But today we just come to God and say, God, you are almighty. I don't want to put my fist against you, blaming you. And I don't want to blame others. I want to take up the matter between me and you, Lord. And that's what happened with Naomi. Her heart began to change. It began to get softened. She began to have spiritual eyes again. She began to see God working. She began to see the provision. She began to unfold the vision, the passion. Ruth, you've got a husband. His name's Boaz. It's God's provision for you. It's an incredible provision for you. This is your man for your life. And then Naomi gets all excited about how to make it happen. There's a certain way to make it happen. It happens. They have a future together. And how does the account end? How does the book of Ruth end? Well, remember, my God as king has died. Pleasant became bitter. Sick and tired died. Ruth, who means compassionate and beautiful, came into the scene. She marries Boaz, the Lord is my strength. And in this relationship that they have, Naomi's bitterness melts away. Her love for God is right there before us. And so what happens is that they have a little boy. Boaz and Ruth have a boy, which would make Naomi a grandmother. That's interesting. So now she has another little boy. Well, Naomi, I thought your life was finished. I thought you were done. I thought it was just over. You'd given up on God and on others. But now you've got this little grandson, don't you? And you're taking care of him and nursing him and caring for him. What's that grandson's name? It's Obed. It means servant. Who would have a son named Jesse? Who would have David? And who would have Jesus, our Messiah? It's all in this line. It's all in this family line. This family line. Is that incredible? When you thought it was over, when you were full of bitterness, when you just said, I'm done. You want to do that? You go do that. I'm done. God says, I'm not done with you. You have yet to know my love. I love you so much. I love you so much. I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. You don't realize the work that is going to come from your life. And I guess just in concluding, moms, grandmas, great grandmas, just the work that God is doing right now in your life. And you think, does my life really matter? It's so routine.
It's so overwhelming. It's so unappreciated. And God's working. God is absolutely working. There's no one else that can do the job that you do, moms. No one. No one. No one could do it. No one could take your place. There's no way. And I want to let you know that no one's come from a perfect household, okay? It doesn't exist. There's a wonderful reunion in heaven, praise God. But we need him, right? Be encouraged in Jesus.